The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Come, come, whoever you are, worshiper, wanderer, lover of leaving, it doesn't matter. Ours is not a caravan of despair. Come, even if you have broken your vows 1,000 times. Come, yet again, come. The version of this reading, we often leave out that phrase, which I see as the most important part. Even if you have broken your vows 1,000 times, come, yet again, come. I am Reverend Andrew Weber, and I'm here to say that this community welcomes you as you are, who you are, where you are, even if you have broken your vows 1,000 times. You are welcome here. With the underlying common ground that we agree to a way of right action, a way of good relationships. Because when we agree on how we act with one another, then we can come with our full selves. The broken parts, the whole parts, those vows that we keep recommitting to, that part of you also is welcome here. We all come together from the multitude of our imperfect and amazing lives into this community, itself imperfect and itself amazing. So come, let us give witness to our high ideals of living together in care, even when we disagree. Come, let us worship together. For our chalice lighting this morning, I've asked Jan to come forward and light our chalice, and I just want to specifically call to mind the memory of Tina Spuntz as we light this flame and hold her in our heart and all that she has done for us individually, us as a community, with these words from Desmond Tutu. We are different so that we can know of our need of one another. For no one is ultimately self-sufficient. The completely self-sufficient person would be subhuman. And as we light our peace lamp, please respond with the words on the screen. May peace be with us. Amen. Thank you. We start our time of worship today by singing as we usually do. If you picked up a hymnal on the way in, great. If you want one now, go get it. If you want to use the screen, either way, it's number 361. You can rise in body or in spirit and go to the side so people can still see the lyrics.
Rejoice and come in. Open your hearts, everyone.
So much of what we do in worship is about bringing together differences, bringing together our different needs, desires, wishes. That's part of the reason that we stand and move to the side. That's part of the reason that when I have a book to share, it's also on the screen. If you want to see the physical book, I'm going to sit down. The front row is never full, so you can always move up. That's always okay. The book today we are going to read is called We Disagree. So please come forward if you wish, or follow along up there. We Disagree. It's a story about a squirrel and a mouse. Hello, hello. Do you like figs? Oh, no, I don't. I snack on twigs. Do you like blue and polka dots? No, I like red. I don't like spots. Do you like newts and toads and frogs? No way. I just like prairie dogs. Do you like warm and sunny skies? I prefer gray. The sun hurts my eyes. Do you like skates? Do you like bikes? I don't like wheels. I'd rather hike. You must like flutes, guitars, and drums. No, no, and no. I'd rather hum. Hum, hum, dee dum. What's wrong with blue? What's wrong with frogs? What's wrong with gray and prairie dogs? We don't agree. We can't be friends. There's nothing more. This is the end. Yes, I agree. Wait, what did you say? What happens next? We just agreed. I'm quite perplexed. We're not the same. Indeed, that's true. Agreed again. But why choose blue? Well, blue is sea and blue is sky, but red is leaves and cherry pie. Hey, let's disagree more. Let's disagree, yes. Do you like friends? I'll let you guess. So what do you think? I have a guess. Yes.
They're friends even though they disagree a lot of things.
They're friends even though they disagree a lot of things.
The book also rhymes a lot.
And the book rhymes a lot. That's pretty much what I'm going to say. So, bye. I'll see you later. We're good. This is a story about being together in care, even when you disagree about everything. They only agreed that they disagreed. So let's hold on to that thought as we sing our recessional hymn, if you want. It's in your hymnal 413. Otherwise, the lyrics are up here. Go now in peace.
Go now in peace. May the spirit of love surround you everywhere.
Go. It is okay when we sing Go Now in Peace for no one to go. And it's okay to go now. We still wish you peace. Our reading now it's even more empty in the front row. Have I told this joke before that ministers sometimes come up with these ideas? They're like, we want pews or seats on a conveyor belt. And the service starts and the first row just drops and everything moves forward. Our reading today is the Thomas Paine Covenant of Good Relations, and I've asked Mike McNeil to read it as a member and co-chair of the Committee on Shared Ministry. So he's gonna read it from the back. You may also read along on the screen.
Our Covenant of Good Relations. We covenant to listen to each person carefully and respectfully. We covenant to honor the inherent worth and dignity of everyone. We covenant to show care and compassion for each other, our community, and our environment. We covenant to voice concerns and disagreements honestly and respectfully. We covenant to measure our behavior by the principles of Unitarian Universalism. We covenant to, in times of disagreement or conflict, recognize the conflict and seek resolution directly and in a timely manner, respect and honor the ideas of others, encourage all to express their point of view, practice tolerance, patience, and openness in the process, and work toward the common good of the fellowship. And we covenant that the responsibilities of leadership include being highly involved, visible, and representative of the fellowship as a whole, avoiding the use of power of leadership to promote an individual agenda, and promoting process to provide accountability and continuity.
There's a lot of words there. I don't know if has anyone heard this phrase that we are a covenantal faith? Sometimes talk about that. Sometimes I'll say Unitarian Universalism is a covenantal faith. It's one of those phrases that we use to try to explain our sort of countercultural religion, a religion which goes against the somewhat normal definition of what a religion is. And like most short, concise expressions, this one needs some work to understand. We say we're a covenantal faith. It's like, okay, great, got it. What does that mean? So thankfully, we've all just seen our congregation's covenant, which gives us a starting idea of what being a covenantal faith might mean. Unitarian Universalism holds to a standard different than many other religions. We say, you must believe what you must believe, right? What you feel in your inmost heart, what you know to be true, that's what we want you to believe, the truth that you hold in your own heart. When you feel the Spirit moving in you, your ideas about life and death, believe your faith, but do it in community, right? Do it in community. Be true to what you hold as divine or holy or important, and live those values with your neighbor who is also living his, her, their values as they understand them, which may be completely different from yours, right? That's it. They may be similar, they may be different. And ours is a very personal and also very communal religion because we search for truth and meaning. Our individual search for truth and meaning, all the while being close to other people who are on their own paths of discernment. Right? That's why it's individual and communal. This is where being covenantal comes in. Because Unitarian Universalism, we're varied in our personal theologies, but we're unified in our agreement of action. The covenant part of our religion is making statements about how we act with one another, the agreements which speak to our commitments to right action, our commitment to good relationships. That's what it means to be a covenantal faith, that we make an agreement of how we will act with each other rather than an agreement on theological beliefs, which is where it gets hard, right? I mean, this is like the hard part. Having the agreement, saying the words, as Mike did, thank you. That's the easy part. We have these, we can say them, yeah, we could all recite them together. Now, looking at this in times of agreement, great, wonderful. But at the moment when I'm in conflict with someone, when I disagree with someone, at that time, it's really hard to remember those loving words and put them into action, right? It's like, oh gosh, I'm committed to being open and respectful, but what are they doing? Right? I mean, like that's what happens. Which I think is precisely why we make these agreements, because it's so hard to remember to be kind in times of strife. We need to remind ourselves, we need to remind others that we have intentionally come together through our differences of belief to create a beloved community. Just a few weeks ago, we celebrated our new members to this congregation, and we are going to welcome some more who are not there. And at that service, we mentioned our covenant, and everyone here who was here that time spoke words of welcome and words of promise, a promise to walk together in differences and walk together in love. And at that service, I mentioned when membership begins. I said, it's not when you sign the membership book. I said, it's not when you make a pledge. It's not when you give money. Membership begins when we're disappointed in the community and we come back. It's the decision to return after disappointment. That's when your membership begins. Because we're going to be disappointed. I can guarantee you that. I'm sorry. You're going to be disappointed. The differences stand out more than the covenant. So the disagreements overshadow sometimes our shared commitment to respect, which is why this is my second service about welcome, but it isn't maybe quite so supportive, right? Welcome to this congregation. Welcome to this community. Welcome to the jungle. Welcome to the jungle, because there are going to be uncomfortable parts. I had Guns N' Roses going through my head the whole time thinking about this. Welcome to the jungle. Yeah. There's going to be uncomfortable parts. That's the jungle. That's what I'm talking about. There'll be something that takes you by surprise. Welcome to the jungle, because there's already a lot of life here. There's already a lot of life when you step in. Welcome to the jungle is a place where the more you explore, the more you learn, the more you see that some things are hidden or not quite out in the open. Not as enticing, right? This isn't really an enticing, like, hey, come to our congregation. We're a jungle. No. But maybe a bit more truthful here. And I see parallels here with joining families. If you and a beloved have decided to create a family together, if you and a close friend have ever decided to live together, at any time of intimate and long time contact with another person, you will know this. You'll know this truth. You'll be walking through that relationship thinking everything is good, everything is wonderful, and wham, a difference pops up out of nowhere, and can easily become a conflict. And not big things either. I'm not talking about these huge things. These are small things that they're assumed. My wife and I have a very good relationship, but we have different views about what is left out on the kitchen counter. Is it storage space? Is it workspace? Do we leave appliances and utensils around so they're easily accessible? Or do we put them away so the countertop is clear? Now, this is bound to happen when people from two different families join together. And I can see some truth in your eyes, right? Do we take our shoes off when we come in? Where does the laundry go? Right? I mean, what time do we eat meals? This is the jungle I'm talking about, not a dangerous place, but one which has surprises and possibilities for disagreement around each proverbial tree. Just think how much more fraught it is with a congregation, right? Every one of us comes from a different family, except a couple who come from the same family. We each have our own religious background. We each have our own professional and personal experiences about what religion should or should not be, and how we should or should not gather in community, right? Who are the examples? How do we make decisions here? Do we hold a vote to decide the paint color on the walls? There's truth there. That's why I ask this question. There's truth. Do we hold a vote to decide the paint color in the sanctuary? Does the board of directors decide? Does the grounds committee, does the minister get a say? There will be conflict here. Yeah, maybe the minister picks the color. Is that, I have to check my contract. No, but here's the thing. Like, not only how we make decisions, but what about when a decision is already made and we didn't have input, or we feel like our input was ignored? Do we want a screen in worship? There's a screen in worship. The artwork was moved. That artwork used to be here. That doesn't sit well with everybody. Right? Take a breath. Carpet was replaced with vinyl. Flooring. Take a breath. It's okay. The front doors are locked after the service starts. We put hymnals out for people to use. Keep breathing. Right? Now here's the thing. In the grand scheme of our religion, these are pretty small decisions. Right? But those are the ones that creep up and surprise us. Those assumptions we have that we aren't ready to disagree on. I led a class last year on spiritual discernment. It was amazing and it was great. And we were civil and respectful. We talked about what we thought about what happens after we die. Oh, that's very interesting. What do you believe? Wow. Okay. What are your experiences? Yes. Okay. All different beliefs and ideals. Good. But man, it got heated when we talked about the differences of how we loaded our dishwashers. I mean, we were still civil, but there was some differences of opinion there, right? Oh, you believe in God, you don't believe in God. Okay, you put your forks facing which way? No, that's not okay. And our covenant, as such, our covenant glosses over these theological differences. Of course, we can hear each other's truths about God. Of course, we can do that. You don't believe in a deity. That's wonderful. You feel the presence of the holy in the woods. That's great. You pray to God and follow the teachings of Jesus. That's fantastic. But you load your dishwasher with the forks pointing up. That is unforgivable. Or you want YouTube videos and worship more than live music. That's just wrong. Oh, you peach paint on the walls? Why am I even coming here? Oh, you have a different name for the color? You said that's not peachy. It's so wrong. It's like, yeah. I joke, but there are people who have left divisions created and sustained through seemingly small disagreements. Not here, or maybe here. Or here. Churches which have splintered over the choices of chairs versus pews, right? Communities broken by discussions on Sunday morning flower arrangements. Yeah, welcome to the jungle. There will be roots we trip over. There'll be things that jump out from the darkness and surprise us, which is why we come back to our covenant over and over and over again. We come back to this covenant. My wife and I didn't split up because one of us leaves the toaster out and the other puts it in the cupboard. We're still together. We decided that we had a higher purpose than that disagreement of kitchen counter space, right? In a congregation, we make the same choices. Hopefully, we look to the higher purpose of beloved community. We look to the higher purpose of supporting, sustaining each other in our spiritual lives. So the question then is, how do we do this work? What do we do when we are disappointed? How do I talk with the person with whom I am in disagreement? Well, look at the book that I read. We disagree. The mouse and the squirrel have lots of disagreements. That's the majority of the book is their disagreements. Acorns, twigs, red, blue, sun, rain. And they took two steps and everything changed. They took two steps. The first step was they found common ground. I mean, their common ground was we agree that we disagree. But they agreed on that. And then the second one was asking, why do you like blue? Oh, why do you like red? Ah, coming with curiosity. I mean, here in this congregation, it may look a little bit different, but let's look at the hymnals again. Oh my gosh, I'm so against having hymnals available. Oh, no, I need to have the hymnals available. Okay, okay, great. What can we agree on? What can we agree on there? Do we agree on singing in the service? Maybe, maybe not even that. Maybe we can agree that Thomas Paine is an important community for us, right? Start from that agreement and then come with curiosity, humility. Oh, what's important for you to have the hymnals out? Oh, yes. Ooh, why is it important that we do not have them out? Oh, interesting, yeah. Without the argument, not saying, tell me why, because I got all of these, I can blast each one of your reasons down. No, just listen, say why. Okay, right? And what about something which hits us maybe a little more personally than the hymnals? I talk about this a lot, because I'm going to keep bringing it up, because we're in this year-long process. The National Unitarian Universalist Association bylaws are up for possible edit. I keep bringing this up. You'll hear me again and again. It's going to be drastically changing our nationally defining language. The process has been less than perfect. So to many, these proposed changes feel even more dishonest and possibly a betrayal. It's a difficult process, because it has had problems, but also because it's about our highest principles. It's like, okay, what do we agree on? It's like, well, that's what we're changing. Whew, okay, that's gonna be hard. How do we find that common ground if we're changing what we're talking about? In the bylaw discussion, we still need to find our common ground. We still need to join together with those with whom we disagree with curiosity. The task in the large jungle of the Unitarian Universalist Association is very difficult, right? It's fraught. It's very difficult to reach out to the national board and say, come with curiosity and hear their point of view, come to a different congregation. But we can start here. We can start right here in our jungle. At Thomas Paine, we can talk about the bylaws. We can talk about our differences as long as we start with a shared higher purpose and as long as we continue with open curiosity. Right? It's guaranteed that we will not agree on all of the topics I've mentioned, the kitchen counter space, the wall color, the hymnals, the bylaws. Like, we're not going to agree on all of this. We're not. Where's the common ground? Where's that place we can join each other in curiosity? We start from there, and suddenly, boom, we've done it. We've got our conflict understood, and we've hopefully saved our relationship. Yeah, if only it were that easy, right? If only we're that easy, because it isn't easy because we're human. We have feelings. We have opinions. We know what has worked well in the past. There'll be disappointment. There'll be disappointment. There'll be disagreement. There'll be conflict. We'll act from pain. We'll act from hurt. Our covenant will be broken. And something interesting to note about covenants, especially in relationship to contracts, which are related to. Does anyone know, like, oh, covenant versus contract? Have you had this, thought about this a little bit? When a contract is broken, what happens? There's a penalty, yeah. Often fiscally, legally, right? You break your contract, yeah, come after you, yeah. Come after you. That's the treasurer just said that. Come after you. If you break your contract, there is a penalty. If you break a covenant, penalty. Was there any penalty listed in that covenant? No. Covenant, in my point of view, is made to be broken. It's made to be broken because it's made to come back to, return again. Oh, you've broken your vows 1,000 times? Let's return again. Let's return again. It's not a contract. We mess up. We're going to mess up. You're not kicked out. As long as you agree to try again, to be from a place of care, of love. And if we need a trusted third party, which sometimes we do, we're like, I feel like our covenant was broken. I need someone else to help me, to be a trusted third party to help repair this relationship and help get us back into covenant. That's okay, that trusted third party. Our work here is always done with others for support and for loving accountability. This is the hard work of our faith, right? This is the one that says our actions here and now are extremely important. The work of our faith to live in covenant even when we don't like the paint color. The work of our faith to come back into care when we have acted poorly. Right? We are a covenantal faith, which one which constantly asks us to be our best selves with others. one which constantly asks us to allow space for entering and re-entering and re-entering our promise of good relations. When, not if, when we disagree, when, not if, when we are disappointed, come back on, try out that covenant again. First, find some common ground. Second, approach each other with curiosity. If we agree in love, no disagreement can tear us asunder. If we agree in how we act toward each other, our dishwasher conflict cannot break our bond. If we agree in care, no hymnal discussion can rend us apart. If we agree in our covenant of right actions, the bylaw changes will not disrupt our relationships. Let us agree in love and go forward with conflict. Welcome to this jungle, and amen. Please join me now in singing "Here We Have Gathered," usually a gathering song, but one also about welcoming. 390 in your hymnal. If you're going to stand, go to the side, please. Let us sing. Each week we witness to our differences and we witness to our lives and the sharing of matters of the heart, those things in our lives which overflow into this beloved community, which must be shared, those highs and those lows, those feelings that need to be part of our beloved jungle. In just a moment, I'll open it up, and if you're in person, you may come forward and speak into the microphone. If you're online, just raise your physical or virtual hand, and Mike will unmute you. I'm going to start just remembering Tina Spoons, a very long-time member here. If you didn't know her, she helped create what this space is, the community and a physical space. To Tina, we give thanks and we remember with joy her life. We will be celebrating her life this Saturday, the 30th at 1 p.m. You are all welcome. We're going to try to do it online also, so hopefully you're able to come in person or online. And in order to help her family, especially to set up, there's a sign up that Anne made outside to sign up for setting up the building Friday or Saturday, and then for cleaning up Saturday. So Saturday, 1 p.m., let us gather together to celebrate her life, to say goodbye, to witness to that miracle of Tina. Thank you.
We can bring this time of sharing to a close by singing Spirit of Life. The words will show up on the screen in the front in a moment, and it will be performed this week by our very own Christine Perry.
In gatherings, we are stirred like the leaves of the fall season, rustling around sacred trees, tossed hither and yon until we come to rest together quietly, softly. We come to gather strength from each other. We come to give strength to each other. We come to ask for strength from the spirit of all that is and is not. When our hearts sing or when they frown, it is the way of compassion telling us to give. It is the way of peace telling us to share our gifts. For we are happiest and most powerful when love is made apparent in and through us. Spirit of the circle that is love, as we twirl in its dance that is life, we give thanks for reminding us each day of our task of ministering to each other with a searching glance, a safe touch, a generous smile, a thoughtful word. Thank you for reminding us that we are always building our beloved comunidad. Thank you for reminding us that through our covenant with you, we covenant with each other and are made whole. In gratitude, we celebrate with open hearts and minds. We discover who we are, separate from each other and within one another. In this circle that holds all life, may we ever work toward widening its boundaries until there are none. Amen. Pause and blessed be. Once more, I ask you to join your voices in song with our closing song. Again, a welcoming song, but a welcoming as we step out of this space into our other welcoming spaces. We're going to sit at the welcome table. It's number 407. Lyrics in the hymnal or on the screen.
sit at the welcome table. We're gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. Hallelujah. We're gonna sit at the welcome table. Gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. All kinds of people around that table. All kinds of people around that table one of these days. Hallelujah. All kinds of people around that table. Gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. All kinds of stuff at the welcome table. All kinds of stuff at the welcome table one of these days. Hallelujah. All kinds of stuff at the welcome table. Gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. We're gonna sit at the welcome table. We're gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. Hallelujah. We're gonna sit at the welcome table. Gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days.
I don't know where you found this, Linda, but it's great. Chalice out. It's like, we're out. We extinguish our flames, but not the flames inside of us. Not the memories we have of those who have gone before. Not the feelings we have from this gathered community. Those we hold on to and keep kindling and pass one to another. Our closing words come from Hosea Ballou, and I reference them in the sermon. If we agree in love, no disagreement can do us any harm. If we do not agree in love, no other agreement can do us any good. Amen and blessed be.